to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, the 6th of February, 2012. Hope you had a great weekend. You know, I didn't really care who won the Super Bowl. I was kind of rooting for the Giants, but all I wanted was an entertaining game, and I got that. It was a good Super Bowl. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And if you doubt the power, drive up to Phoenix sometime. You'll listen to KVOI the whole way up there. It is a very strong signal. Big shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. Also, three places for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday from noon to one. We get things rolling on a Monday afternoon with our political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. Today, it is the team of John Munger and Vince Ribago. Then it looks like war clouds are gathering in the Middle East as the situation with Iran grows more serious by the day. We'll get some very good insight from one of America's great military thinkers, General John Wickham, the former chief of staff of the United States Army, will be joining us for the second half of today's hour. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us anytime on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Our Monday political face-off featuring John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Ribago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General, is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, did you watch a little bit of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I did, and I enjoyed it. I was like you. I didn't care who won, but what a great game.
It was a great game.
I watched it also, and I didn't have a dog in the race, so to speak, or horse in the race, but I did support the Patriots because we have a Wildcat on that team.
That's Gronkowski. Right.
Nothing wrong with going with the Patriots for that reason, if anything.
Well, Vince, I'm going to begin with you on the Democratic side of the ledger. I keep hearing that Ron Barber, the district manager for Congresswoman Giffords, is strongly considering getting into the race. He would only run pretty much as a caretaker, just finish out this term. Several sources have been saying there might be an announcement today. We have not seen anything yet official on that, but some of your thoughts.
I think that would be a great choice. Ron is known throughout the district. It's one of the reasons I believe she originally chose him to be her district manager way back when she first ran for this and won the seat. And he knows everybody. He's very middle of the road. It's all about taking care of the district's business and America's business. And he's well known, well liked. I can't think of a better, I guess, caretaker. If you're looking for someone who's just going to run for the special election only to sort of caretake the seat while the regular election process, the Democratic process, works its way out, I think he would be great. I think he certainly would be great. So we'll see if that happens today. I'm excited to hear that news. I'd heard some of that percolating over the weekend, starting at the end of last week, and I think that's a great choice. And I know there is one, I think, at least announced candidate, and Dr. Matt Hines, legislative candidate. I don't know if he's announced for both or just for the general, though.
I think he announced for both, and he is scheduled to be with us Wednesday here on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Munger, what do you think about perhaps a caretaker position there?
Well, I don't understand why we need a caretaker congressman. I mean, let's elect a congressman. Let's elect somebody that's going to be there to do the job. I do not understand the concept of a caretaker congressman, and I don't understand why that's beneficial to Arizona. My view is let's elect somebody that's going to do the job, that's going to get committee appointments, that is going to acquire seniority from the beginning and not have lose seniority and have to start all over again next fall. I just don't understand that. I think Ron Barber's a fine guy, but I don't know why in the world we'd want to elect a caretaker.
Well, hey, let me jump in. The reality is that there are two elections. That's why. And the person who is going to get elected is not – and maybe the word I used, caretaker, is not the right word. But someone who's going to run for this special election – who's going to serve out the remainder of this term. Mm-hmm. And then you have whoever is going to win the ultimate race next time. And they don't have to be the same person. The reality is because there are two elections, there's going to be some reticence, I think, in the leadership as to, well, what role is this person going to get? Are they permanent? Is somebody else going to win that race? And we just don't know because we have this unusual set of circumstances, two races. But whoever wins this special election is, in fact, going to be the congressperson for this district. They're going to vote. They're going to represent the constituents. And so, you know, maybe the word caretaker is not the right one, but it is whoever's going to serve out the term that currently exists for District 8. Well, the reason why that's important, we have a whole new districting process. But it's going to be a different district.
He's apparently saying that he's only going to serve for this interim period. That's what I gathered.
Sure.
I just don't see why we need that. I don't see the benefit of that. There you go. I mean, that's the choice people get to make.
Well, sure. And I'm just saying if that's what's going to happen, that's fine. I think if we're going to have a candidate, at least on our side of the aisle, on the Democratic side of the aisle, that's only going to run to fill out the rest of the term, what that does, at least from our side of the aisle, not necessarily in the Republican side, is it sort of clears the field and to say, okay, this person is going to run for this special election. Let's support one candidate and then – all bets are off. Let's have, you know, Democrats, whoever's going to run for the open seat for the new district. It's a message. If that's what happens today, what that is that's a message saying, okay, whoever wants to run, go for it, and we're not going to get involved in that race, meaning we being the Giffords campaign. I mean, I'm assuming this is sort of what's driving this train.
That the Giffords campaign would
endorse. But we could do that now. We could have the Giffords campaign say, now everybody get in the race, and we're not going to take a side. They could do that now.
Sure.
There's no reason why why we need a caretaker is what I'm saying.
So, I think if the Giffords if Ron Barber gets into it, I would assume that the Giffords people would put their stamp of approval on his candidacy.
But then why do that if he's not going to run again in the fall? I don't get it.
Well, I'm not the Giffords campaign. I'm just telling you why I think he would be a great – even if he ran in the fall. I mean, the reality is if he wants to run both races – hey, more power to him.
Well, and there's nothing to say that he might.
If he did, fine. But he's saying that's not what he wants to do.
And that may be his own personal decision. Because we do have this unusual, you know, for whatever it's worth, we are where we are. We have two races that are going to be happening. We have this race that's the special election coming up, and then we have the general election, which is for an additional 2 years on top of the remainder.
Yeah, all
of this
I'm
year.
Saying, Vince, is if he wanted to get in both races, fine. If he just wants to get in the first race and clearly be a caretaker until the fall, I don't see the point. That's all I'm saying.
12:13 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. If you'd like to join in, 790-2040, 790-2040. Early voting has begun in the Arizona primary. Only registered members of the Green and Republican parties are eligible to vote in their party's primaries on February the 28th. John Munger, let's begin with you. President Obama is saying the economy has turned the corner. The unemployment rate is dropping. What do you say to him?
Well, it's amazing. They've cooked the books. Here's what's happened. In January, the administration cut, in order to reach the unemployment number of what they claim is 8.3%, they cut the number of job seekers by 1.2 million people between December and January, which means that they have the same number of unemployed, but you have a lower number of people looking for jobs. So you purport, by cooking the books that way, you have a higher number or a lower number of unemployment. In fact, the real number is that if you look at the percentage of Americans employed, it has maintained at 58.5% employed from December to January, 41.5% unemployed. That doesn't mean they're all looking for jobs. That just means 58.5% of Americans are unemployed, both in or employed in January, in December,
and
January.
And you're saying as many as 41%
are unemployed. That doesn't mean they're looking for jobs. That's the total number of people, including men, women, and children. But what they've done is to reach the unemployment number. Hmm. They take a total number of people who are in the employment market, and that's the denominator.
So it's funny numbers, you're saying.
It's funny numbers. They've reduced the number of job seekers by 1.2 million job seekers and naturally have gotten a lower unemployment rate.
Vince has got a big smile.
The reality is when you don't have the facts on your side, you just make up stuff. That's not the case. In fact, I read in Time magazine.
Oh, there's an authority
the,
for
the
you.
The pessimist, an economist, Mr. Calabresi, who talks specifically about the January job report. And his title to the article, in fact, is "Good News for the Economy, Bad News for Pessimists." The reason why it's bad news for pessimists, it's bad news for the anti-Obama folks like John, who are trying to make up stuff now. What he's referring to is this issue of people that are no longer looking for work.
No
Where
longer.
Does that
They're
put people
worn
down?
Out, yeah. No longer
and
looking
so,
for a job.
And so the reality is there was an adjustment using census data. And so people were saying, well, is that what's going on here? And actually that exact issue is addressed, debunked in this article, because even if you take out that adjustment for the census usage of the census figures, that the unemployment rate has in fact dropped. But here's the other indicator, and here's something that rebuts the anti-Obama folks' position, like John. Factory orders in December are up 1.1% in December. So the reality is businesses are ordering more. The unemployment numbers are down. Jobs are up 238,000. And the reason they're so afraid is because they've been hammering Obama and the economy. And right as the economy is starting to pick up steam, the wind in their sails is gone. It's going to be gone. So they're looking for anything, because here's the thing: they want to blame them for the economy, but they just can't bring
themselves
to give them any credit when the economy's doing well.
The interesting thing is Vince does not deny that they took 1.2 million people.
I deny it.
No, it's true, Vince. They've admitted it.
We're going to take
it. They used the census adjustment, and nothing wrong with that.
It.
And when you take that out,
then Vince, the number of Americans grew by 1.5 million in January.
All right.
And the percentage of employed Americans is maintained the same.
Hold your thoughts. We will continue with the Monday Political Face-Off. And Ted is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and we'll get to Ted right after the break. So stay with us.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. Back with the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is at Fort Lowland Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We are back with Vince Rabago and John Munger. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Why don't we go to the call to Ted on the Buckmaster Show live line, and then we'll probably pick up our conversation about the what John Munger says are some funny numbers when it comes to the unemployment rate. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes. I just called to say that many years ago, I served as an administrative assistant to a Nebraska congressman during the Kennedy administration. And I can tell you, I think the idea of a caretaker, somebody running with the idea of being a caretaker, is just a waste of time. It hurts the district. They could someone who is serious about running for that spot with the idea of going on to the regular session, if they again, get the voters' approval, they can use that time very valuably. But if they're just there holding the seat, that's time that's wasted. It could be used for the people of Arizona effectively.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Ted. What do you think about that, Vince? I mean, I Ron Barber, though, knows what's going on in the district. And
well, that's the difference, I think, is that when you have someone who is and has been inherently involved in all these decisions and is going to be voting and is going to be representing that district, the only issue that comes to front then is what John Munger's talking about, and that is, do you just have somebody that essentially has a stronger position to run from, right? Let's say they're the person, they're going to run again and try to go on and have a political career. But the reality is this isn't always about political careers. If you have somebody who gets elected in the special election here, and they are going to be there in D.C., they're going to be voting, I don't see any functional difference other than the political side of the equation, which has already been discussed.
Saying the service end of it outweighs the political.
Absolutely. Service end of it should always outweigh it. And under these circumstances where you have this unusual circumstance, two elections, very short time frame, it's difficult for people to gear up. Here's somebody who's a known quantity. And for his own personal reasons, you know, he's got his own health. He's still somewhat recovering, I believe, probably from the shootings. Mm-hmm. He could represent the district well, represent the constituents. But, you know, at the end of the day, who knows what's going to happen? These are all just rumors in the blogosphere. We already have one announced Democrat who's running, Matt Hines. There may be some others. I've heard indicators from others, like the folks that Paula Bowd might run. There's a host of people that are out there, and this is not a done deal by any means, at least as of this moment.
What's the point? What is the point of having a caretaker who acquires no seniority, doesn't waste that 4 months' time learning about how to operate in Congress, getting his committee assignments up to date, and then having to come back and get somebody else new to do it? Now, if he's going to run in both elections, fine. Run in both elections, but we're talking about somebody who avowedly says he's only running as a caretaker. Well, I just, like Ted, I don't see the point in somebody running as a caretaker. I just don't see the point, that's all.
So let me ask, John, what if the shoe were on the other foot? What if Jim Colby came out and said, yeah, I'd like to run, I'm only going to run for this year because I've done that.
I'd say, what's the point? I would not support that.
So you wouldn't support Jim Colby running for his old seat
as a caretaker? I want a congressman who's going to be a congressman, who wants to do the job, and who's interested in learning that job and serving and giving us continuity of service. We're entitled to continuity of service. We've had a year now.
No, you're not. That's what elections are for.
We're entitled to the opportunity to go into it knowing you're not going to get continuity of service, I think, is a bad idea.
The elections give the citizens every
election
a chance.
I'd far rather talk about how Obama's cooking the
we can get back to that. Yeah, let's pick up that now on the economy certainly is going to be – Vince and John, I think both of you agree the economy looks like it is going to be the big issue. However – foreign affairs.
Oh, it's huge.
We'll be talking with General Wickham here in a few minutes, John and Vince. And I think this situation with Iran is beyond serious.
I think you are right.
Big time.
I think that we are
with a fragile economy.
We are facing a rapidly being pushed to a war footing with Iran. And I think that may soon be the most important issue out there. The question is whether Obama can maneuver the situation to the point where we don't have to go to war. I was absolutely appalled to see the Obama administration through the Defense Secretary Panetta, telegraph Israel's position. Which he apparently knows about, that they are going to attack Iran in the next 3 months. I just thought
they
that
said
was
the April, May,
reprehensible
June timeframe, yeah.
That he would telegraph that publicly to the detriment of our ally, Israel. I just thought that was reprehensible. And frankly, how the Jewish community can support Obama in light of its anti-Israel positions, including the Panetta, most recent Panetta position, is just beyond me.
Vince, what do you say?
Look, the reality is this has been a tremendous job that the President Obama has done on a foreign policy front. In fact, if you go back and listen to every single Republican debate, nary a word, almost nothing about foreign policy, and that's
so you give Obama high marks.
He has done tremendously well on foreign affairs. He's done tremendously well.
What has he done?
And in the reality, well, let's talk about. You want to talk about foreign threats? Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
You want to talk about dictators toppled? Let's talk about Tripoli, and let's talk about what has happened.
He did nothing in Tripoli. He led from behind by his own position.
Here's the reality. See, they don't want to give him any credit, and they've refused to talk about it because he has done tremendously well. A new trade agreement signed with Korea. And so the reality is
which he put off for 3 years
is that he has accomplished a great deal.
So he's
on
not
resetting.
Vulnerable in your opinion.
He is not vulnerable in any way. Now that doesn't mean that these are not going to be difficult issues with what's happening here with Iran. But you know what? Let's call this back to what the American people think. You know, just today, I think it was in the Washington Post, a poll that was done, and going back to the issue of economy, who is in the American people's understanding, better to understand what average Americans are going through. Obama, 52% to 37%. He's crossed over back over to 50% in terms of approval ratings. And now with these economic numbers, the reality is that Obama is in a strong position, and they find Obama – to win and beat Mitt Romney if an election
quick
were held
final
today.
Comment, John.
Well,
quick.
The economy's growing at about 1%. That's pathetic. And the public understands that. You can cook the books all you want, Vince, but in the end, the public's smarter than that.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Our thanks to Vince and John. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, have a great week. Thank you for your thoughts today. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Coming up now on 12:30, General John Wickham will talk about the situation with Iran. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Western powers are sending a message to Syria. They no longer see the point of being involved with President Bashar Assad as they push for an end to his government's violent crackdown on dissent. The U.S. embassy is closing in Damascus, and Britain has recalled its ambassador to Syria. For the first time since rival Palestinian governments were set up in the West Bank and Gaza in 2007, reconciliation appears to be within reach. President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama will be hosting a dinner at the White House later in the month. They'll be honoring members of the armed forces who served in Iraq. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 42 points, 12,821. The NASDAQ off 6 points, and the S&P 500 index is trading 3 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Well, 1234 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, President Obama said yesterday he does not think that Israel has decided whether to attack Iran over its disputed nuclear program, a standoff that has the Middle East on edge. The president sought to assure allies and foes alike that the United States is working in lockstep with Israel to solve the crisis, and the president said hopefully diplomatically. But Ethan Bronner writes in the New York Times, yesterday's Times, he says, few who have spent time with Israel's decision makers in recent months have come away believing that the talk of a military assault is merely a well-scripted act of public diplomacy. It is that, to be sure, but there is more. It is also a window into the government's thinking. We talk more about this now on the Buckmaster Show with our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1972 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley and joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Good to talk with you, Bill. Yes, you raise a very important topic. It's on the minds of anybody who pays attention to world events, the issue with Iran. And it's very significant about the issue about Israel and their decision-making. And the fact that our president says that no decision has been made is true. They haven't made a decision. But that does not mean that they are not prepared, that the Israelis, and willing at the right time to strike Iran. I'm convinced they are prepared to do it. They have the capability to do it. And the reason are that they are prepared to do it, we have to put ourselves in the Israeli shoes. Difficult for most Americans to do that. Here is a country that's living in the midst of an upheaval regionally. The Arab Spring has led to now an Islamic parliament, largely Islamic in Egypt. You've got a Syrian situation that is growing worse, and Syria is a surrogate state for Iran. You have the Hezbollah and the Hamas that are willing and able and have in the past firing rockets into Israel. And here you have the Iranian regime, a population several times larger than Israel, and that regime has insisted our purpose is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now, with that kind of situation, you can understand why there is a paranoia in Israel about Iran having a nuclear weapon. And it's likely that the Iranian capability to achieve a nuclear weapon is only months away. And Israel defense authorities and leadership says that it's too late for us to wait until they have one. We need to do something about it before they get one. And they do not believe, the Israeli leaders, that the sanctions are working. There are sanctions that are posing serious problems with the Iranians, but guess what? The Turkish government, which had been a reasonably good friend of Israel, is now providing financial arrangements through their banking system that enable Iran to get around some of the financial constraints. So these things do not look good for Israel, and you can understand why they're increasingly paranoid about doing something soon, and I think they will do it soon, probably within the next 6 months.
How will it look? What kind of military assets would they bring to the forefront here to carry out an operation like this? You have an entire career in military thinking. What might it look like?
Very good question, Bill. Obviously, they're not going to fly across Saudi Arabian airspace to get to Iran. They're going to have to go south and then skirt up through probably the Strait of Hormuz and to get into Iran that way. The Israelis have refueling capabilities for their aircraft, and they have some of the most modern aircraft in the world. They do have bunker buster weapons that can penetrate several meters of solid concrete or rock, and they know what they're doing. My guess is that they have practiced some of this in various places beyond the eyes of media, so they know what they're about. And when the Israelis are talking about our ability to do this, they think they can do it. Now, what's going on in Iran, as they have been moving capabilities and putting them inside mountains, making it even more difficult. And so the time is running out for the Israelis to catch them in this way. But I think the Israelis can do some real damage to Iran. Now, the bottom line, you understand it better than anybody, is it's going to lead to an upheaval in the Middle East. Iran is going to strike back at Israel, and Hamas and Hezbollah is going to strike back, and other countries in the Middle East might have a problem with Israel doing that. The price of oil is probably going to go up three times or more, and that's going to hit the world economy right in the midriff, and it's going to hurt the United States big time. So there are going to be some serious repercussions if Israel were to do this. I think our administration is trying to work hard through these sanctions. We don't really have any negotiations with Iran because they're not talking to us. Yet I believe we've got to do that. We've got to begin talking to them in some responsible way.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. I've got so many questions still for you, General Wickham, on Iran. It is such a difficult situation right now, and you talked about the Syrian situation. The United States today closed the U.S. embassy in Syria, and then the situation with Egypt putting 40 Americans on trial. That is still happening. I mean, the situation looks like it's deteriorating over there. And I want to get back to oil prices. Even right now, the estimate is that oil prices will be going up 60 cents over $4 a gallon within the next couple of months, just on worries about these tensions. But if there is an Israeli strike, as you say, we could see gasoline even going up to $7 a gallon.
No doubt, Bill. It could go up considerably, and you can imagine the impact on the economy here. We're beginning to show progress in job growth and manufacturing activity, and looks like we've turned the corner on the economy. But if oil prices spike like that, we're going to have serious setbacks on economic recovery, no doubt about it. And the same thing is going to be true in Europe, which is on the brink of going back into a recession. And if oil prices spike like that, there's no doubt that Europe's going to suffer mighty severe. Now, the difficulty we all face here with Syria and Egypt and other countries, and you've got Russia and China that are not being very cooperative. Russia is going through its own election problems, and they will seek to ensure that the election of Putin comes out fine. Russia is selling arms to Syria, and they don't want to interfere with that kind of an arrangement. And so the Russians vetoed, along with China, the UN resolution that sought to bring pressure to bear on Iran to force the government to step down by appointing the vice president as an interim leader. And so you've got these other two major powers in the world that are contributing to the difficulty we face. And it's unfortunate that all of this is happening during our own election campaign, which some countries are likely to take advantage of.
The big question is how the United States will react to the Israeli strike. And some of the sources that I've been looking at are saying that that strike could be, it wouldn't be a one-day deal. It would be, it could be up to 5 days to a week of military strikes in Iran. So then what does the United States do with our treaty that goes back, so many years with Israel, if Israel then is attacked?
Well, fundamental question you raised, Bill, and you're right, exactly right. The media reporting that if Israel does do something like this, it could take several days because they would want to be sure that these multiple sites in Iran are devastated as best they can do, and one strike can't do it. So U.S. is going to bring pressure to bear on Israeli government, as well as other governments are going to bring pressure to bear to get the Israelis to suspend. The United Nations is going to seek to have some kind of a ceasefire, an intervention perhaps to stop any kind of military activities. And it's going to put the United States in a very awkward position since we have been one of the largest providers of economic and military aid to Israel in the world. Are we going to continue to do that during a period where the world stability is threatened by an Israeli preemptive attack?
Lots to talk about with General Wickham in the second portion of our interview. We're going to pause right here. We'll be talking about defense cuts that are planned, all of that and more. But first, let's take time out to listen to the fine group of people who are supporting this program. Please give them your support. We'll be back with General Wickham right after this.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. $12.50 on the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. We are talking about the situation that is unfolding in with Israel and Iran. But we also want to talk about here at home the U.S. Defense Department budget cuts. General Wickham, Secretary of Defense Panetta, has said that the cuts could be up to, what, $500 billion over the next 10 years?
That's right, Bill. Of course, those are cuts that were mandated by the Congress when they agreed to the increase in the deficit arrangements a couple of years ago. So the Defense Department is carrying those out now. Those cuts are going to involve some withdrawal of forces from overseas, from Germany, a brigade or two of troops from Germany. It's going to lead to some delay in procurement of new weapons. It's going to lead to some adjustments in the retirement for new people that are coming into the forces. It's going to lead to some reductions in the size of the Army and the Marine Corps. And it's also going to lead to some reductions in procurement of ammunition. And clearly it will lead to reduction in spending in Afghanistan. Iraq is pretty much finished now. Afghanistan, according to the latest reports from Panetta and others, we're going to try to get pretty much out of there and by 2013 and turn it over to the Afghans. Now, and there's also a strategy change that is announced by Panetta, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff all agree, and so do I, with this strategy change. And that change is that we're going to be prepared to fight one major war plus contingencies, instead of the announced strategy in the past of being able to fight two major wars plus contingencies. The reality, Bill, as you know better than anybody, we've not been able to fight two major wars because we have not mobilized the full guard and reserve, nor have we equipped them. So what this new strategy is doing is nothing more than equating to reality where we are now. So we can do this, and we can still maintain our capability to be a strong military power. It's important for everyone to understand, given the political rhetoric that's bouncing around the United States now, that unless America is strong at home, we are going to be strong nowhere in the world. We've got to rebuild our infrastructure in the United States. We've got to reinvest in our schools and in our research and development, and we have done badly at that. And so we've got to stop spending on these kinds of insurgent wars the way we have been. The cost of the Iraq and Afghanistan war, believe it or not, has been over $2.5 trillion.
Wow.
And the cost of the veterans' care just for those two wars is going to be over $1 trillion. And that's all on the credit card, unfortunately. We've never done that in our wars before. We've always paid for them with taxes or with bonds. Unfortunately, our political leaders in the past decided we're going to spend money and have a good time and pass the debt on to our children and grandchildren, which is a travesty, I think. But in any event, we've got to stop doing that. And we were to continue the Afghan war for one more year, say from 2013 to 2014, it would cost us $200 billion just for one year more. And I don't think one year more is going to make that much of a difference. So I think there is wisdom in what we're doing in retrenching a little bit and rebuilding America.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. And General Wickham, because of his past history, of course, is a keen observer of what is going on in Korea, North Korea. How is the transition in leadership appearing to be going?
Good question, Bill. All the reports you read about are that the transition is going reasonably well. That Kim Jong-un, the 27-year-old a new leader, and the dynastic situation in North Korea, seems to be continuing and his policies. The reality is that the military is running the show. He is a titular head, but the military is in charge, and the elites that have benefited from the leadership, they are in charge. So there's still a famine going on in North Korea, and the Chinese are helping to ease that with food. We could do a better job, and South Korea could do more in getting food up there, but there's been no movement whatsoever from the North about rejoining the six-party talks on nuclear weapons reduction. I don't see them doing that willingly soon. And as a matter of fact, if I were a North Korean or if you were a North Korean, Bill, you wouldn't be willing to give up your nuclear weapons as your ace in the hole for security. I don't think we have anything that's of value to offer them to do it.
General Wickham, a lot of folks are worried about a cyber attack. That seems to be a possible threat, as if we don't. The world is such a dangerous place, and now this is one more thing that we need to worry about. But it does seem to be very real.
No doubt about that, Bill, and it's something that most people are not aware of. The cyber attack involves attacking the Internet and the computers that deal with the Internet. And if you can get into computers in a country or in several countries with malicious software, you can destroy them. Or you can get information in there that can take out your secret information. That's why, for example, in the U.S. government, we no longer allow people to use thumb drives, these little drives you can stick in a computer to pick up material, because we've discovered in the past that these thumb drives, many of them manufactured in China, have malicious software in them that will enable the thumb drive to access your hard drive at nighttime and take off classified information. So
wow.
We don't do that anymore. But cyber warfare is more than just that, Bill. It involves also the possibility of interrupting the electrical grids in a nation. Can you imagine what could happen to the electrical grid in the United States and the implications of it if you were able to shut down the generation of power to our communities from our nuclear power plants or other power plants, shut down our banking system? You can do that. That's possibly a way to do it. Every computer, every generator, every air conditioner has got a tiny little vacuum device on it that sucks in air to cool it. And if you can get into those airflow, tiny little bits of hair-like material, that carbon fibers, that will absolutely shunt out and destroy the motors in the instruments, you'll shut down a whole city or a whole nation. And that kind of capability exists in weapons today. and believe it or not. And so it's more than just getting in malicious software. It's the ability to absolutely destroy computers and generators and air conditioners throughout a country.
That could be a huge potential threat. General Wickham, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Have you taken your 12-mile bicycle ride today?
I just came back, and that's why I guess my voice is a little hoarse.
Doing well. Our regards to Ann. Thank you so much.
Mind you, Ann, and God bless. And you've got a wonderful program. I listen again to your supporters. You've got some really first-class supporters on the program.
Thank you so much. We're very proud of them. General Wickham, have a great afternoon.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks
Bye.
A lot. General John Wickham, a regular contributor here to the Buckmaster Show, which is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, our friends Michael C. Flowers and his team at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Michael Medved is coming up at 1 o'clock. Then we go local again here on KVOI with the John C. Scott Show. John C. Scott and friends coming up this afternoon from 4 to 5 on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, The Voice.